Thank you so much, Rabbi Maskin, and it's so wonderful to be back with you again this year. And Be'ezras Hashem, this year I certainly look forward to being with you in person as well. And certainly that will be a wonderful experience that I look forward to. I decided to change the topic this year. Last year we did a topic of Rav Moshe Feinstein and his halachic adversaries, and I have to share with you, I enjoyed so much being able to discuss that topic with you. So this year, for the Young Israel Century City, for the monthly shiur, I decided we're going to talk about Rebbeim and Talmidim. And I think one of the things that I enjoyed so much about the topic with Rav Moshe and his halachic adversaries was the fact that it was not only Torah, but also a little bit about appreciating the lives of various Gedolei Torah. So I wanted a topic that relates to that not only relates to Torah, but also relates to appreciating the lives of Gedolei Torah. And in addition to that, this topic of Rebbeim and Talmidim is a topic that talks to me in particular, because my entire life is about being both a Talmid to my Rebbe and a Rebbe to my Talmidim, trying my best to pass along the Mesorah that I received from my Rebbeim to my Talmidim. I think it's important to talk about, because there are many people that don't have a Rebbe and therefore don't understand the value of a relationship with the Rebbe. People intuitively appreciate the value of having a father, a mother, a sibling, a child, a friend, and they understand that if somebody grows up, let's say, for example, Rachman al-Tzlan, somebody grows up as a yasom, as someone who doesn't have parents, they understand that such a person is missing out on a very important relationship in their life. The same is true for people who don't have a Rebbe. They may not know what they're missing because they've never experienced that kind of relationship, but it's a part of us that's incomplete. The difference is that for the other relationships, there isn't much you can do about it. If a person is born as a yasom, he doesn't have a father, or a mother dies at a young age, there's nothing he can really do about it. A person can't make for himself a sibling, but one can make for himself a Rebbe, and it's never too late to do that. So I'm hopeful that over the course of this year, we'll be able to explore the impact that different Rebbeim had on their great Talmidim, who went on to achieve really great, wonderful things, and I'm hopeful that that will inspire us to enhance our own relationships with our Rebbeim, and to the extent that some of us don't have Rebbeim, to go and aseh lecha rav, and make sure that you get yourself a Rebbe, because it's so critical, a relationship. But today we're not going to discuss any particular Rebbe. To tell you the truth, I'm not even sure where I'm going with this. Meaning, Rebbeim and Talmidim, we can go Ramban Rashba, we can go Moshe Rabbeinu Yoshua, we can go Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter. You know, it's such a broad range. I don't know if we're going to stick with the modern era, go back to the biblical era, or explore somewhere in between. But today, just as an introduction, I'd like to talk a little bit about the value of having a Rebbe and the value of having Talmidim, to see it from both perspectives. And each of those categories, having a Rebbe and having Talmidim, to break up into two subcategories. Having a Rebbe, to discuss two things: the importance of having a Rebbe and how to have a Rebbe. How it is that one goes about achieving having a Rebbe, and when it comes to Talmidim as well, to talk about the importance of having Talmidim, and it's not only for people who work as Rebbeim in yeshivos or Rabbanim of shuls, all of us should have Talmidim to some extent, and we'll discuss that, and also how to have Talmidim. So let's start with having a Rebbe. The importance of having a Rebbe is highlighted by the Meiri in his commentary to the first parak of Pirkei Avos, where he comments on the Mishnah, Aseh lecha rav uknei lecha chaver, and says the Meiri, why aseh lecha rav and yet knei lecha chaver? Shouldn't it be aseh lecha rav v'aseh lecha chaver, or knei lecha rav uknei lecha chaver? Why is it that the lashon of asiya on a rav and the lashon of kinyan on chaver? And the Meiri writes that the lashon asiya implies working much harder to make something happen. You know, if you go and you buy a suit, it means that in the suit store, the suit was there, and all you had to do is transfer the ownership. You paid some money for it, and now that suit no longer belongs to the store, and now belongs to you. making a suit, an entirely different experience. Asay, to actually make it, you're going to have to cut the material, do a lot of measuring, figure out how everything is going to go. That one must work much harder at making a suit than at buying a suit. Asay l'charav, says the Meiri, one must work much harder at making a Rebbe. It doesn't always happen naturally. The relationship doesn't always happen organically. Very often our Rebbeim are very busy people, and they're running here and they're running there, and we have to work much harder to develop that relationship. A person has to make a concerted effort to develop the relationship of having a Rebbe. The Gemara in Makos and Daf Yud famously tells us, Talmud Shegala, when a Talmud goes into Galus, when a student accidentally kills somebody and has to be sent to a near Miklat, Maglin Rabbo Imo, we send his Rebbe to Galus with him. How do I know? Shenemar V'chai, because the Pasuk says he has to live in the near Miklat. How do you expect him to live without a Rebbe? You have to give him the ability to live, and a person can't live without a Rebbe. The Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, when he discusses this halacha, the Rambam elaborates even more, and he says, Talmud shegalah li'ir miklat megalin rabo imo shenemar v'chai. So far, the direct quote from the Gemara, asei lo kedei sheyichya, and then he says, the Rambam adds, v'chaye balei achachma u'mevaksheha below Talmud, Kemisa Chashuvin, that the life of people who are Balei HaChachma, who are interested in Chachma, who seek wisdom, who are interested in learning, without learning, without the ability to learn from a Rebbe, is death. It's as if they're not living at all. A person genuinely interested in Chachma cannot imagine life without a Rebbe. For those who never had such a relationship, this is very hard to understand. For those who have had such a relationship, this is obvious. It's in the natural order of the world, though, a Talmud typically survives his Rebbe. The Rebbe usually would be older than the Talmud and would predecease the Talmud. And even while the Rebbe is alive, very often, a Talmud is a Talmud when he's learning in the yeshiva, and then he moves out somewhere else, far away from the Rebbe, and he doesn't feel that he has the Rebbe anymore. And therefore, part of our avoda is to make sure that wherever we are, we have a Rebbe, meaning that a person has the responsibility to seek out a Rebbe. Now, nowadays, with the modern communication, this is much easier. You can live very far away from a Rebbe, and you can still be a Rebbe. You can still talk to him every day, even if you live far away from him. When Rav Lichtenstein made Aliyah and moved away from his father-in-law and his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, I'm sure he was still in communication, although for a little while, Rav Soloveitchik was so angry at him for moving to Eretz Yisrael that he didn't talk to him. But eventually, they smoothed over that relationship. But I'm sure he still had access. It was his father-in-law. He still could have. If everyone could just mute themselves, if
exactly. Would everyone please mute themselves?
So
hearing feedback, we're just going to leave Rabbi Leibowitz unmuted. But would everyone please mute themselves?
They say that I'm not sure of this, but they say that when Rav Lichtenstein made Aliyah and moved to Eretz Yisrael, he made Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach his Rebbe because he felt that he needed a Rebbe. Just recently, Rav Tendler passed away, and I was talking to Rav Schechter about it, and Rav Schechter was he said this at the Levi, he said in the Hasbid, and he said it to me afterwards as well, that Rav Tendler was his ninth grade Rebbe, and he said having Rav Tendler around, having the fact that one of his Rebbeim was still alive was a great sense of comfort to him. In some way, that symbolized to him all of his Rebbeim. We should always feel that we have a Rebbe in our lives. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Rabbeinu, even though he may have had a din of a melech. He was the leader of Klal Yisrael. He was the one that brought us Geula as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the highest title he could have is Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, they say, Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he's just a melamed. He didn't say he's just a melamed. He said that he's a melamed. He didn't say that at Belashna Nivus, that I'm just nothing but a melamed. When Rav Soloveitchik referred to himself as a melamed, he was saying it as a matter of pride, that there's nothing more important than being a teacher of Torah, than being a Rebbe to other people. So that is a little bit about the chashivos, the importance of having a Rebbe. But how does one go about doing it? How does one go about having a Rebbe? So number one is probably Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, that a person should go out of their way to help Talmidei Chachamim out, to be there with Talmidei Chachamim, to spend time with Talmidei Chachamim. I remember a few years ago, I got on the WhatsApp chat of Talmidim that to arrange for rides for Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter when he had to be picked up from the airport or brought to the airport. He doesn't drive. So normally it's the younger Talmidim that are on the WhatsApp chat, but I got myself added to it just in case I'm ever free and I have the opportunity to do so. So one time I was free and I had the opportunity to do so. I picked him up from Kennedy Airport and brought him back to his apartment in Washington Heights. He and the Rebbetzin back to their apartment in Washington Heights. And when Rav Shechter got out of the car, he said, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. I said, why not? What do you mean? He said, this is for the Talmidim, to drive me. You shouldn't be driving me. I said, Rebbe, excuse me. I think I am a Talmid. You know, why am I not a Talmid? He said, no, it's for the younger Talmidim. You know, I said, what do you mean? Gadol Shimusha Yosef Milimudo. Shimush Talmid Chacham is important. He said, no, you know better. Shimush Talmid Chacham doesn't mean that you pick me up from the airport or that you pick anybody up from the airport. Shimush Talmid Chacham means that you spend enough time with the Rebbe that you pick up on the Divrei Torah, you pick up on the Hanhagos, you pick up on the various chumras that he has and the various things that he's makbid about and not makbid about. That's what Shimush Talmid Chachamim is about. So one way of having a Rebbe and developing that sense of a Rebbe is spending enough time with the Rebbe to sort of pick up on things, to pick up on the Rebbe's Torah and the Rebbe's Hanhagas HaChayim and the way he lives his life. So that's number one. How to have a Rebbe? Shimush Talmid Chachamim. And that involves being present in their lives. Being present in their lives does not only mean that you listen to online shiurim, it means that you attend shiurim in person when you can. It means that that you when you're attending a Zoom shiur and you want a relationship with Rabbi, you keep the camera on. Not that I'm giving muster to anyone here. I'm sure everyone has things going on in the background. But it means that that there's some face to face time that you're connecting with an actual person who's speaking with you. The pasuk says Notzer Te'ena Yochal Piria. The Medrash Rabban Bamidbar Yud Beis Ches explains Lama Nimshala Torah Kita'ena. Why is the Torah considered like a te'ena? In what sense is it like a te'ena? Sharov ha'ilanos ha'zayis ha'gefen ha'tamara nilkatum ka'achas. The majority of trees, you know, whether it be a gefen, a zayis, a te'ena, all of the fruits are picked all at one time. Va'te'ena nilkatas ma'at ma'at. When you pick the fruits off of a fig tree, little by little, a little at a time, says the Medrash Rabbah, Kach HaTorah, Hayom Lomid Ma'at, Ulamachar Harbe, you learn a little bit today, a little bit more tomorrow. That's the nature of Torah. So when it comes to Talmud Torah, Lefi She'ena Mislamedes, Lo B'Shana, V'Lo B'Shtayim, having a Rebbe means that it's not that I was in his class for a year, I was in his shir for a couple of years. It doesn't happen in a year, it doesn't happen in 2 years. It's a lifelong relationship. Mahu Yochal Piria, what does it mean you then are Ochal the Peros? Pri shel Torah Malchus Vesaros. It's you. One can acquire the Torah and the Malchus that's associated, Man Malki Rabbanan, the royalty that's associated with being a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham, by spending years with a Rebbe, years with a relationship. The Medrash Shmuel in the first parak of Pirkei Avos Mishnah Tezayin says that you should learn from one primary Rebbe so that your mind is not scattered in too many different places. Meaning, people, the way our educational system is set up, you know, I have my first grade Rebbe, my second grade Rebbe, my third grade Rebbe, you know, and then once I hit high school, then I have my Chumash Rebbe, my Halacha Rebbe, my Navi Rebbe, and there are just so many different Rebbein. A person should have their one Rebbe that they view as the Rebbe Mufak. There is a concept of Rebbe Mufak. Certainly, Ezu Chacham Alomid Mikol Adam, we should try to learn from as many people as we can. But when it comes down to whether it be Psak Halacha or Hadracha in life, there should be that one Rebbe that you know that this is when push comes to shove, this is where I'm hitching my wagon. This is where I'm really connected. The Medrash Shmuel writes, Masinu Shom Chazal al Rav Yehuda She'in Lismoch al Shmuasa Mishum Shemikuli al Magamar, that we find that the Chazal tell us about the great Rav Yehuda that you can't always rely on that which he reports la halacha, because he learned from so many different people that he didn't have the clarity that you get, the direction that you get when you learn from one particular Rebbe Mufa. Mufak. And part of having a Rebbe Mufak is to be mekabel from a Rebbe, to appreciate his greatness, and that he sees what maybe we don't always see. In the Sefer Lev Avos, he writes, Kidei lekabel to'elas min harav, in order to benefit from a Rebbe, tzarech sha'atalmid ya'amin lo ma'od v'yismoch la'al devarav. You have to trust the Rebbe and rely on him. V'zeh shamar v'stalik min ha'safik. Kolomer lo tesafik klal b'divrei rabcha, elo smoch alav kizul azeh lo yo'elach. You know, they tell the story, I think, about Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber's loyalty to Rav Chaim was such that if you were to tell Rav Baruch Ber, you know, if Rav Chaim were to say a mashal, and he were to say, this table is like a cow. So someone would say, you know, a regular person would say, oh, the table is like a cow. That means, just like a cow has four legs, so too the table has four legs. You know, something like that. If Rav Baruch Ber was told by Rav Chaim that the table is like a cow, they say, Rav Baruch Ber would try milking the table. Meaning, he so was mekabel, everything that his Rebbe said, that it was an absolutely kafuf to his Rebbe. You know, there's Rav Shimon Shkap in his Hakdama to Shari Yosher writes that he heard a davar na'u umiskabel from a brother-in-law of his, who said, you know, the Gemara in Baba Kamba tells us in the sugya of Zenen of Zelul Chaser that Rav Chista asked Rami Bar Chama a certain shaila, a certain question in learning. And Rami Bar Chama said, L'chita shamishli, after you perform an act of service to me, then you'll get the answer. What? Why does he need an act of service? Can't you just answer his question? He asked you something, give him an answer. What do you mean, L'chita shamishli, when you perform an act of service to me? And Rav Shimon Shkap writes that Rami Bar Chama understood that if you don't respect the person who's teaching the Torah, then the teaching itself, the Torah itself, is not something you're going to be willing to accept and willing to receive properly. So he first had to create that relationship where we are not equals. You need to be mishamish me a little bit first, where Rami Bar Chama is elevated above Rav Chista a little bit. And once you have that reverence, then you'll have a reverence for the Divrei Torah that emerge as well. And that's part of the Talmud-Rebbe relationship, that the Talmud has a reverence for the Rebbe. That is all on how to have a Rebbe and how to be a Rebbe. What about having Talmidim? What about the other side of the relationship? And I'd like to share with you, much of this section that I'm about to share with you is taken from a 6-page kuntras that was written by Rav Avram Erlanger, who passed away last week. He was the author of a sefer called Birchas Avraham on many, many Masechtas and Shas. I knew when I was learning in Yeshiva, I used the Birchas Avraham a lot, and when I said Shiurim on different Masechtas, I used the Birchas Avraham a lot. I never knew who the fellow was that wrote the sefer. I knew he was a contemporary. I knew that he always quoted Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and that made me excited because I assumed he was quoting the Rav. Last week I learned that he was a Talmud of Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, the son of the Brisker Rav in Eretz Yisrael. So when he was quoting Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, he was quoting the Rav's cousin. He wasn't quoting the Rav. But nevertheless, he wrote beautiful, beautiful Svarim, and just passed away last week. And in the back of his Sefer, Birchas Avraham and Masechta Shabbos, he has a 6-page entry or a 6-page essay that someone sent to me, a friend of mine sent to me last week, called Ha'emidu Talmidim Harbe Hadracha L'Magid Shir, that guidance for someone who's a Magid Shir, for someone who teaches Torah. And it's really just so clearly laid out. And, you know, Rav Ram Erlinger, maybe we'll have more time to talk about him later at the very end, if there's time. But let me share with you some of what he says. First of all, as far as the importance of having Talmidim, when one has Talmidim, they're much more likely to have a lasting legacy. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Ha'emidu Talmidim Harbe. It means not just to share a Dvar Torah with somebody, to teach people Torah, but to deliver Torah in a way that the Talmud is going to learn to be an independent Talmud Chacham. Ha'emidu, allow him to learn how to stand. Ha'emidu Talmidim Harbe. That he should be an independent Talmud Chacham. And by so doing, you'll be Marbe Kvot Shemayim, you'll be Mezaka the Rabbin. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is really to teach it to others. If you look how the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the Rambam describes teaching Torah before he even describes learning Torah. Teaching that when one learns Torah, one is supposed to learn Torah with an eye toward not only practically teaching it to others, but by very definition, since you're going to, one has to take upon themselves the responsibility of teaching it to others, to learn Torah in a way where I have to know it well enough to be able to teach it to others. And whatever it is, on whatever level, you know, I once attended a Chabad Kinnus Shluchim, more than once I attended a Chabad Kinnus Shluchim. It's a very inspiring event. And one of the quotes that they always have from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, is that they say, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to say, if you know Aleph, teach Aleph. If you know Beis, teach Beis. Meaning, no matter how much you know, on whatever your level is, go and teach it to somebody else. Ha'amidu talmidim harbe. Everybody can have talmidim. Partners in Torah, you know, there are organizations where you can be set up with people who don't know nearly as much as anyone who's had a yeshiva education knows a million times more than your average secular Jew and is ready to teach Torah to other people. Ultimately, our success in life is very often measured by the impact we have on others. And that's very often measured by our children and our talmidim. And our talmidim shehem kibanim, and our abanim shehem kitalmidim. So how does one have talmidim? A Rebbe has to show the talmidim, meaning how does one make sure that it's not just, you know, this Talmud spent a year in my shir, and that's it. And make sure that it's an actual Talmud relationship, where I told this fellow Dvar Torah once. So in that sense, he's my Talmud. How do you make sure that it's more than that? So Rabbi Erlinger has 21 points. We're not going to go through 21 points, but he has 21 points on how to treat Talmidim to make sure that you have real Talmidim. I'm going to mention a few of them. One, he says that a Rebbe has to show Talmidim how sweet the Torah is to him. Use adjectives to describe what you think about the Chidushei Torah. I remember I used to always love listening to the Parsha Shiurim of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichrono Levracha. In fact, when the OU came out with the All Parsha app, they asked if I knew of any good Parsha Shiurim, like what do I recommend? Whose Shiurim should they put on the app? So I said, you got to put Rabbi Isaac Bernstein on the app. So the fellow who's running the app said, I never heard of him. So I said, what? You're running a Parsha app and you never heard of it? I couldn't believe it. But he's on the app now. They got permission from the family and his Shurma. So one of the things about Rabbi Bernstein is the adjectives that he would use when he would describe a piece of Torah. It's not an Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It's a majestic Or HaChaim HaKadosh. It is, he would use terminology that you didn't often hear. I've heard my own Rebbeim describe things as magnificent, as geschmack, as beautiful, even as a delicious piece of Torah. We should. One of my high school rabbis used to jump up on his chair in excitement when he had a chiddush in learning that he wanted to share with us, and that made an impact on us because talmidim see that the Torah, it's real, it's sweet, it's something that this person is so animated by. And if that person is so animated by the Torah, maybe I too can be so animated by the Torah. Second, Rav Erlinger shares, the Gemara Pesachim says to always teach bederach katzara, as concise as possible. Don't say in a paragraph what can be said in a sentence. Don't say in a chapter what can be said in a sentence. Very often people, again, if everyone can mute themselves, very often people will say things in such long form. There's one person on an iPhone, if you could just, I don't see your name, if you could just mute yourself, it's a little bit distracting. The Gemara Pesachim says to always teach the Derech Ktzara as concise as possible. A third Eitzah, that a Rebbe should focus on the primary points of the Sugya, the foundations that will help in future learning. And what Verlinger is saying is not only that that's how you're supposed to learn, to always focus on the primary points, but if a Rebbe focuses on the primary points of a Sugya, then that Talmud will, no matter what he's learning, will always go back to those Yesodos. But if the Rebbe gets distracted by every little detail in the Sugya and what every small Rishon says and every little detail in the Sugya, the Talmud's never going to be coming back to that. That'll be a one-time experience in his life. But if you develop foundational ideas, you develop Yesodos, those Yesodos tend to come up wherever you are. Rabbi Erlinger says a Rebbe should always take questions, but teach the Talmidim to be patient and listen to the entire explanation first, and then open the floor to questions. And that way the Rebbe will be able to see if the majority really fully understands. The Talmidim should be challenged to think. Leave them with a question at the end of Shir to research, or at the very least during Shir, to prompt responses from them. Don't just let it be a lecture. If you're sharing Torah with people, have them respond in some way. Have them think about things in some way. The Chazon Ish would always encourage people to write down any Chidushei Torah, Talmidim, to write down Chidushei Torah that they have. That gives them a sense of accomplishment in their learning. That too, there's no one that's too young to have Chidushei Torah, to write down a nice idea that they have in learning. Maybe they shouldn't be publishing Svarim when they're 15 years old, but they can write down Chidushei Torah, they can develop Chidushei Torah. The Rebbe has to incorporate Yerushalayim into his Torah, into the Shir. Rav Tendler, Zichron Levrach, used to say that when he first got his job as the first rabbi in Great Neck, he asked Rav Soloveitchik, he said, you know, he had never planned on being a pulpit rabbi. He said, what bracha do I make on this? You know, like, how do I prepare a drasha? I never had to prepare a drasha before. And Rav Soloveitchik told him, never skip Agadah to Gemara. Learn Medrash Rabbah in every parsha. When you do that, you'll see, and you take it seriously, you'll see all of the Yerushalayim and the Hanhagos, Yesharos, that a person is supposed to have will emerge from the learning of Agadah. Another bit of advice that Rav Erlanger has, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perkei Halacha Yud Beis writes, Kishem she'atalmidim chayavim b'kfod harav, kach harav tzarech l'chabed es talmido v'lukarbon. That a Rebbe has to be mechabed his talmidim, he has to honor his talmidim. And one of the ways that we honor people, that we respect people, is that we're on time, we're punctual. When a Rebbe is punctual, he's honoring his talmidim. When he's not punctual, it's bittul Torah derabim, it's a zilzul b'kavod haTorah, it's machti as Rabbi says Rav Erlanger, it's a major problem, it's setting a very poor example for the talmidim. Rav Erlanger then points out, a Rebbe has to be aware of which talmidim are suffering through unique challenges in their lives, which talmidim are yisomim, and to be extra sensitive to them. And ultimately, like everything else in life, a person who wants to have talmidim has to daven. A person who wants anything has to daven. You want anything in life, you have to daven for success in that thing in life. Now, did everybody have a Rebbe Mufak, every gadol that we ever, you know, when I told my brother I was giving this series on Rebbeim and Talmidim, so I said, I'm looking for examples, like who should I use? So he said, why don't you use the Chazon Ish and Moshe Rabbeinu? You know, like the Chazon Ish didn't have a Rebbe, Moshe Rabbeinu was his Rebbe, that was it, you know. He used the Ravina Ravashi was his Rebbe. There are a few rare gadolim that didn't have like a main Rebbe Mufak, but most of the Gedolei Torah had a Rebbe that they received their whole derech in learning and in living from. Sometimes Svarim are our Rebbeim, but ideally a human being is better. So what we're going to strive to do throughout this series, and all of this was just one big introduction, is that we're, in the breakdown of each year, we're going to have half of it, or part of it, let's say the first 10 minutes, will be a biographical about the Rebbe and about the Talmud and about their relationship. And then the goal is to take a piece of Torah of the Talmud and of the Rebbe and show some sort of connection, how the Talmud's Torah was built off of the Yesodos that he received from that Rebbe, or the values that he received from that Rebbe. Again, not yet sure if we're going to limit this to the Tekufas HaAchronim, but I invite everyone, if you have requests or resources, even more important, crowdsourcing over here, to come up with ideas of which Talmidim and Rebbeim, or which Inyanim that Talmidim received from their Rebbeim to discuss, I'm certainly open to ideas, and Bez Hashem, each and every month, we'll be able to explore a different Rebbe and a different Talmud, and the relationship and the impact that a Rebbe had on a particular Talmud. I thank you all very much for coming this morning, or afternoon for those of you in New York, and we look forward to sharing Torah Be'ezras Hashem throughout the course of the year.
Everyone, we thank Rabbi Leibowitz, and the next, it's a monthly event, so the next one is November 21st, but of course we'll advertise before that. Thank you so much for the introduction to this series on great students and great teachers. Everybody should have a wonderful day.